The book of Acts, chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. Right here, right now. How many of us, when we lose a loved one, a time where people and family should come together and they should be on one accord, a time where the death of someone brings so many people together. And then out of nowhere, there's always a crazy aunt or an uncle. That begins to, you say, act a fool. Especially when you lose someone like your grandmother. Big mama. Someone always wants to step in and replace what she is doing without earning what she has earned. She has earned the right to give guidance to the family. She has earned her title, earned her position. But yet you'll always have, again, this aunt or this uncle that think that just because they are next in line, they should automatically receive the same respect as the one that just passed. I find it amazing sometimes how we want people to give us something and we don't want to earn our place. When families come together after losing someone, it could bring out the best of a family, and it could also bring out the worst of a family. It brings out the best because people begin to come together and support one another. But it brings out the worst sometimes because people are trying to make room so that they can get what they think that they are entitled to. That's nothing new under the sun. The disciples found themselves in the same place. Jesus was now dead. 3 days later, he rose. He ascended to heaven. As he ascended, like promised, the Holy Spirit descended. But Jesus wasn't there. And because Jesus wasn't there, they could act a fool. You know how that is.
All right.
You remember when you're a little child, mom leave, and you act up? And as soon as you came back, you act like nothing.
All right.
Ever happened? I can imagine just how bad some of y'all were. You especially. And so here's the disciples. Jesus has ascended. And they're still waiting for the Holy Spirit to descend. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to sit on them. Because Jesus promised that I won't leave you comfortless. And so when he went away, the Holy Spirit came, but the Holy Spirit did not enter. Isn't it something to know that you're in the presence of power, but you have no power?
Yeah.
And so there they are, understanding what Jesus' life was all about, but they're still waiting on some type of manifestation that what he promised them, it's now the time. Right here. Right now. Is that he the home? My Lord. Right here, right now. Amen. You know how they mess with me. So the disciples are waiting for the Holy Spirit to descend. While they acknowledge what happened on the cross, they move to a place of celebration. Now, the celebration that they anticipate is the day of Pentecost. Now, the word Pentecost means 50. In other words, it's 7 weeks at 7 days a week, which is 49 days. And on the 50th day, then they should see the manifestation of Jesus. And so here it is, 49 days, and they find themselves in one place on one accord. When the body of Christ come together and there is unity, God can't help but to step in.
Amen.
That's why when you begin to pray, the Bible often will invite you to pray with someone. Because the power is when two or three touch and agree, asking God for the same thing. When you touch and agree with someone, asking God for the same thing, God has to hear your prayer and He has to show up, because He says, when you come together, He says, I'm in the midst.
All right, man.
And so the simple fact that you begin to touch and agree automatically summons God.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think God is going to show up in a particular way, and God does something totally opposite.
Yes, yes.
In this situation, I can only imagine that they were waiting for Jesus to show up in a resurrected body.
Mm-hmm.
And so there they are sitting there, and the Bible declares that as they are sitting there, that they find themselves in one place, they're at on one accord, verse number one.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and when the day of Pentecost, that's 50 days after, was fully come. Now, notice your Bible says fully come. In other words, when this thing is completed, this thing is done, God is going to do exactly what God said He would do. However, there's a time, a season, that you've got to go through something in order to see the manifestation of God. Because if we try to rush God, God shows up, but we're not mature enough. God will show up, but we're not mature enough to acknowledge that it's Him, because I don't like the person that God sent.
All right.
So the Bible declares, on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but check this out. The one place that they were at was not church. Somebody has fooled us to say that God only blesses in the church.
All right.
You don't have to wait till you get to church to get my blessing.
All right.
As a matter of fact, I challenge you to stop going to church to get your blessing.
All right.
If I fall down at my house and pray, God will bless me right there. In the midst of my mess, my sin, my stupidness, God has the power to bless me right there. God doesn't have to show up in the church to bless me.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Anyway, You bless me, Lord.
Amen.
I'll be satisfied.
Amen.
See, I don't have to get to church and go in this order before God.
Amen.
I thank God, He says, just cast all your cares upon me. I thank God, He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm glad the throne of grace is not a man-built altar, but the throne of grace is when my heart is right. If my heart is right, driving, God bless me right there. If my heart is right in work, God bless me right there. I'm glad I serve a God that is omnipresent. He's every place and He knows where I am. I don't have to dress up my prayer and tell God where to go, what to do. how much I owe and what the term. No, baby, he already knows all of that. All I have to do is just stay in his will and say, Lord, let your will be done. See, God has a plan for your life that supersedes your little plan.
Amen.
I'm glad that God wants more for me than I could imagine.
Amen.
But what he's waiting for is the body of Christ to get together and be on one accord and in one place.
Yes.
Now, the one place here refers to a location. But for you and I, it has nothing to do with a location. Because I can pick up the phone, call you, and we can pray together, and God will show up right there. He'll show up between A Street and Z Street. I don't know what street between he's on, but I know he's working it out in between. I know the God that I serve in between time. When I'm starting, he can't see how I'm going to get there. He's still working it out. So all I got to do is just trust him.
Thank you.
Point number one tonight is preparedness. That is to say, all the time while the disciples was waiting on God, waiting on Jesus to show up, he was preparing them.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are tonight, what you're going through tonight, is a school of preparation. See, you think where you are is unique. And God is saying, I just sent 50 more through that same school and graduated them all. Not one did I lose. See, when God calls you to something, you got to understand God is going to finish it. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't hit hell and high water in between, but the hell and high water that you hit in between, it still can't stop you because you sanctify, because you call to a purpose, because God says you justify, but you got to remove the condemnation. Oh, you know I sin. God is saying, yeah, I know you sin. That's why Jesus came, because you're so crazy you did sin. But in spite of your sins, I still got a plan for you. In spite of your sins, I'm still going to bless you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bless you the more because of your sin.
Amen.
That's grace.
Amen.
Grace does what we... I can't do it. So God says, let it go. You want me to do what? Do you know what I'm going through and you want me to let them get away with? You got to be kidding me. And God is saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. No, God, you're moving too slow. I got this thing. In the fulfillment, the fullness of time, I promise you. In the meantime, it's not about them. I'm preparing you. See, where you are, God is working out something in you. But God can't move from this stage to the next stage until the fullness has come. In other words, the fullness is your maturity. God is waiting on you to mature. No, not to become sinless, but mature. Don't get afraid, but he's waiting for you to perfect your season. You can perfect your season and still sin. God is not looking for you to stop sinning because you can't do that independent of God. That's not what he's waiting on. Condemnation says God won't bless me because of what I did. That's the devil in your mind. God is saying, I know what you did. I knew it before you did it. But I still got a blessing for you in spite of. See, God is preparing us where we are. So what he's doing is maturing us. Look at verse number 2. And suddenly... In other words, can you imagine that for 49 days they're waiting on God? 49 days just waiting. Nothing happened yet. And then suddenly God moves. I came tonight to tell somebody in your life, in your situation, God will suddenly move. That thing that you find yourself locked into the night, suddenly God will move. You've been waiting, you've been tearing for a long time. You didn't even see it coming, and all of a sudden, suddenly God moved in your situation. And you step back and say, man, I didn't even see that happen. Especially like that. God has the power to suddenly release you from anything that you're going through. Suddenly when we mature. Suddenly, verse number two. Suddenly. In other words, God knew where they are, what they were thinking, but he was waiting on us, and when we got right, not sinless, but when we got in his will, suddenly God moved. And when God moves, he moves us from a place of preparedness to verse number two, praise. See, you can't praise God until you first acknowledge God.
Amen.
So part of the preparedness is to acknowledge him. Now that I acknowledge who he is, I can praise him because I know who I'm praising.
Yeah.
So verse number two moves us to a place of praise. Listen. And suddenly there came a what? Look in your Bible. And suddenly there came a sound. A sound. In other words, God began to move. And when God began to move, he released his spirit. He spoke a word, sound. And he released his spirit. He says, now, you're ready for this because you've tarried for 49 days. Now that you're ready, I want you to begin to praise me. And suddenly, there came a sound from where?
Heaven.
As of a what?
Rushing mighty wind.
A rushing mighty wind.
Hallelujah.
In other words, you feel breath.
Mm.
In the book of Genesis, when God created Adam, and he finished with Adam, he didn't say anything to Adam. He just breathed on him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You may be going through something and nobody is speaking your language. But in your prayer closet, you felt God move in. I felt somebody walk by me. I felt somebody rest upon my shoulder like a mighty rushing wind. And even though my situation didn't change, I know somebody showed up. Isn't that a wonderful thing when you begin to praise God and you can feel his presence? Isn't that a wonderful thing when you begin to praise God in the midst of going through something? I know God showed up in my situation.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, like a mighty rushing wind.
Hallelujah.
In other words, when God moves, he moves you.
Yeah.
When God shows up, God propels you to do something. Faith without works is dead. When you begin to praise God, you acknowledge God, invite God to come in, he accepts your praise and convert it to your works.
Amen.
In other words, God is saying, now that I've shown up, do something with me.
All right.
See, that's why we got to stop coming to church just to go to church.
All right.
That's why I tell you sometimes when you come to church, expect something.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Why are you going to get up every Sunday morning and Wednesday, come here and just to say that you came? Go to the club.
All right.
If you just want to go somewhere, go to the sports bar. If you just want to go somewhere, but since I'm at church, I got a right to expect something from my dad. See, because this is not a club. This is not a sports bar. So when I come into the house of the Lord, touch and agree, and we all on one accord, whatever I expect from him, he'll do it right here. A mighty rushing wind. A mighty rushing wind.
Thank you, Lord.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting. In other words, when God showed up, he says, everybody in the house will know I'm there. You ever been in church and Paulette got it over here and somehow it ended up the same spirit caught over here and then the spirit moved back there? That's when the church is on one accord. When the Holy Spirit began to move in the house. And what you feel up here, you feel back there. And I may not hear the same thing that you hear, but I know it was a revelation for me. We sit under the same preaching, but my word was different from your word. But my word too was the holy word. And I got what God sent me for. See, that's when the rhema word becomes emotion. That is when I come and I get what I came for, because I was expecting something different than you were expecting. My need was different from yours, but God will meet your need over here and your need over there at the same time. He's good like that. He's God like that.
Thank you, Lord God.
He moves from preparedness in verse number 1 to praise in verse number 2. Watch this in verse number 3. And there refers to in the house. There, right there. Right here. Right now. There. There were the people gathered together and they were on one accord and they began to expect God to show up. They begin to tarry until the Holy Spirit, until God showed up. And there, watch what God does. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. In the book of Genesis, mankind was trying to build a tower to heaven. A tower of Babel. They said, we can do this. We can build it all the way to heaven. God said, because I created no crazy jokers. Watch this. If they come together on one accord and put their mind to it, they really can do it. So let me confuse their language, so that now they're not speaking where one can understand. Now they're just babbling.
Yes.
Got me? So now that they're babbling, they're no longer on one accord. So God said, in order for them to talk to me, where I understand and I'm making sure that what they desire is what I will, let me give them a language.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Stay with me. So now he's saying, Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, he says, you've been waiting for me? Come talk to me. And so they begin to speak in tongues. We got this thing all twisted. We got it all twisted. Speaking in tongues has nothing to do with impressing anyone. Nothing. Nothing. For some people, God will gift them the ability to speak in tongues. And if you don't have it, doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. Can you? I've gone to church, and the question was, can you speak in tongues? As if I can't, I'm not saved.
Amen.
That has nothing to do with proof of your salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Utterance, speaking in tongues, is a prayer language. It has to do with you submitting to God, God giving you the gift to speak to Him through the unction of the Holy Spirit, where when you don't know what to say, the utterance is the Holy Spirit telling you what to say. You babble, the Holy Spirit receives it, present it to God, and say, this is what they meant.
All right, then.
All right.
That doesn't make you powerful.
Right.
It makes the Holy Spirit powerful.
Right.
Just because you have the gift to speak in tongues doesn't mean that you're more holy than the person who smiled at the front door.
Yes,
it's a gift. God gives everybody a gift.
Yeah.
What if you came to church and everybody smiled and nobody speaks? I'm just asking. So God gives us all different gifts. Audrey, you better keep smiling. God gives us all different gifts because that's the body of Christ. Now, so in verse number 3, God is moving them. Verse number 1, preparedness. Number 2, praise. And verse number 3, he moves you into his presence. Watch this. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of what?
Fire.
Which represents the Holy Spirit. So God is saying, I prepared you. And then I broke you. You begin to praise me. And now I show up. I'm in your presence. See, when God moves in the presence of his people, whatever it is that God has on his mind, he places it in your spirit, on your spiritual mind. So then when I pray, I can only tell God what he just told me. If I repeat to God what he just told me, he got to do the thing because he said the thing.
All right.
You got to get that. He has to do it because he said it.
Amen.
That's why when you pray, let your will be done. Because I'm praying your will.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what you told me you want me to do. Now make a way possible for me to do it. So God moves in their presence. And the fire in the Bible represents the presence of God. Now look at the rest of that. Because it's kind of disrespectful. Listen to what it says. And it. A couple of, a year or so ago, I can't remember who it was. Somebody was running for a political office. Maybe you remember. And one of the candidates says, and that one over there. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That one over there. Like Obama, was it? That one, like it doesn't even matter. Like that one over there. And I noticed this when I was studying in the Bible. It says, and it. Now, look at verse number 2, and it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it. So that your it go again. Now in verse number 3, it refers to the Spirit as an it again. Now I know about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I know that the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a person. So why are you calling it it? It's just to me, it just seems disrespectful. Where God gave man the wisdom to write and to translate, but you take the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, and you disrespect it and say it. Watch this. You remember I told you earlier they were waiting for the manifestation of God? They were waiting for him to do what Jesus said he would do. But he hasn't done it yet. And so until he manifests himself, they don't know what it is. It's just that thing moving over there. Because they don't know what it is. It's just an it moving to them. Watch this. Verse number 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of a fire, which is the presence of God. When the presence of God showed up, and it sat upon each of them. In other words, God showed up. Jesus Christ showed up. And they didn't even know who he was. That sounds bad. But I wonder, do we recognize when Jesus show up in our life? I wonder, do you recognize and acknowledge Him? When that car flip over and you should be dead, I wonder, do you get up out of the car and go get another one without saying, Lord, thank you for protecting me? Now that sounds bad, but I wonder, do you get up every morning without acknowledging Him by saying, Lord, thank you that the house didn't burn up last night. Thank you that I got a roof over my head. Thank you that my children are safe. Thank you that my family is safe. I wonder, do you just call it and it? I wonder, do we disrespect God in that way? He shows up as a fire. His presence is known, but we blow Him off. And God is saying, you've been calling on me. You've been waiting on me. You've been tearing for me to come. And here I am, and you're so busy, you don't even know it's me. Look at verse number 4. And they were all filled with what?
Holy Spirit.
Read it again.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Am I reading the Bible? Read the King James Version.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the King James Version.
If you have a King James Version, it says the Holy Ghost. Here we go with translations again. There are some words in Greek Aramaic that cannot be translated into the English language. Some things are cultural things. Reggie, what's up, dog? Reggie, understand what I'm saying. I go to a Middle East country and say, what's up, dog? I'm disrespectful. So some things can't transfer into another language. Where you see in the King James, Holy Ghost, and if you're reading another version, it may read Holy Spirit. There's a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. I hope y'all getting this tonight. Watch this. Remember what I read to you, verse number 1, verse number 2, verse number 3. Now look at verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. When Jesus ascended, Jesus is a part of the Trinity. When He ascended, He says, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send another. The Holy Spirit is what He said. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. But what shows up here is the Holy Ghost. How He left is what He sent back. Okay? Because He sent back the Holy Ghost. Generally, when you read the Bible, the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost refers to a person and the Holy Spirit refers to the movement of the person.
Okay.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Because you're being baptized again. In other words, now what you're creating is movement. That's point number 4. Which is power. Power. He says, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will receive
power.
Power. That's what it's all about. That's what this whole Pentecost is all about. Tarry here until I show up. And so for 49 days, they just waited on God. And on the 50th day, Pentecost means 50, God says, my son Jesus is going to show up and He's going to anoint you. He's going to empower you to go ye therefore. Because when Jesus died on the cross, though He said it is finished, what He's referring to is His mission on earth, but not yours.
All right.
You still got the Great Commission.
Amen.
And the Great Commission for you is to go ye therefore. But you can't go in your name.
All right. Amen.
You need some power to sustain you. Because every time you run into somebody who disrespect you, you need some power to stay there. And he says, not in your name, but in my name.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. When you are born again, there's a process. Born again, it's a rejuvenation. It has to do with a second birth. Okay? When you go in the water, it's supposed to symbolize you being washed of old into the new. Okay? They had never received the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Never. See, we have something that they did not have at the time. That's why the Bible says greater things that you can do. They seen Jesus, but they didn't have the power to do what you have the power to do. And I know your little mind goes wondering if Peter can walk on water and Paul can do this and James can do this. Wow, I must be powerful. Yes, we are, but we have to release the power. You got it? You got to use it.
Amen.
You got to use it. See, what we have to realize is that God has empowered us to do something. Listen to this. And they were all filled. You see that? See, sometimes people think that when you're baptized, God give you half of it. Or he give you just a little touch of it. No. You got it all. So it doesn't make a difference how long you've been in church. Whenever you're baptized, you have the same power as everybody else. That's why I always have issues with people who join the church and say, I gotta wait my time. What time? That's why I have issues with people who've been in church for a long time saying that they gotta earn this. Earn what? It's a gift. You didn't earn it. What you want them to earn? So when you come in the church, get to work in the church. Because now you have the power to do what you're supposed to do. And the only reason God led you to a particular church is because what you bring into the church, it did not have. Watch this. Sometimes people will look at a church and say, I would join that church if they had this ministry, if they had that. Hey, crazy. The reason that is not there, because God is waiting on you to bring it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She got it. Out of the mouth of babes. She got it. God is saying, y'all want to acknowledge it. Okay. I'll get it.
Amen.
And they were all filled. In other words, complete, whole with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit, see that? The Holy Ghost showed up. Now here comes the Spirit. That's what I was talking about, the translation. You put Spirit where ghost is supposed to be. That's not what it's saying. What he said is, listen, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. God showed up through Jesus Christ. And then they began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit, not the Holy Ghost, but as the Spirit gave utterance. The Spirit of God is the power of God. The Holy Ghost is the presence of God. In His presence, of course, there is power and fullness of joy. But in the Spirit of God is where your anointing rests. You can know God because he's there. But if the Spirit is not in you, it doesn't make a difference. You can come to church and the presence of God is here, but if there's no Spirit inside of you, somebody else shouting means absolutely nothing to you. That's why you can sit there and wonder, what's wrong with that fool over there? Because the Spirit of God may be in that person, but not in you. See, sometimes we look at other people and think they're crazy, but we need to check ourselves to find out, why don't we have what they have? Why aren't we experiencing what they're experiencing? You see, and that's the thing, is that sometimes people go through a whole lot of stuff, and you come to church and you allow yourself to be in the presence of God, and when you're in the presence of God, the Spirit of God then begin to move. And then as the Spirit begin to move, people, we call it getting happy or shouting, and the first thing we do is we grab a fan and try to put it out. You don't know what they've been through. Just let them go.
Amen.
Oh, they may hurt themselves. You can't hurt yourself in the Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
You can't. God got you.
That's right.
And that's what I like here. Somebody shout, just leave them alone. Make sure they're all right. They'll be okay, you know. And let them do their thing. You hear sometimes somebody's in the Spirit and they bump their head and got a concussion or something. What Spirit were you in? I'm just asking questions. But what I do know is that if you're in the Spirit of God, God has a hedge of protection all around you. And when God brings us together and he brings us together and we put us all on one accord, there's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God is not willing to do. What God is waiting is for us to get on one accord, one place in unity. And when we are, whatever it is that we desire, whatever it is that we want, God is saying, I'll make it happen. And even if you get caught up in church and you're expecting nothing from God, you need to know that as God begins to move, he'll even throw you something, even though you didn't ask for anything. See, that's the God that we serve. That's why he wanted them to tarry. I got to prepare you. And once you're prepared, then I open you up and you begin to praise. Once you begin to praise, then he shows up in his presence. Once his presence is there, then he releases his power. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. It's the inception of the church. This is how the church began. This is how the church started. For 49 days, tarrying, waiting on God. Day of Pentecost, number 50, he showed up. And when he showed up, he says, everybody, one accord, one place, and he began to move. And as he began to move, he allowed the Holy Ghost to show up and then release the Holy Spirit. Empowered you to do what he called you to do. You may not feel strong enough to do it, but it's not by your power. It's by his. You may not feel qualified, educated enough to do it, but it's not by your resume. It's by his blood. See, we have to learn to release, turn it over to God, and allow God to work it out. When we turn it over to him, he takes what is natural to us, take his super, touch us, and give us supernatural powers. We can only do it once we touch him. As we close tonight, I would like to extend an invite to someone, perhaps that is sitting here tonight, that need to touch the presence of God. If you're sitting here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you to come right now. With everyone tonight, not sure about your salvation, one tonight, you need to restore, renew your relationship with God.